Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the poshcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Welcome back, Posh fans. Peterborough United have this Tuesday night drawn 0-0 with Blackpool away at Bloomfield Road. I'm joined tonight to discuss the game with you by Charlie, John, obviously me, Harry. It's the three of us because we're the ones who watched it on TV. So credit to the other four hosts who went up to Blackpool on a Tuesday night and have actually watched it. And while we're recording and no doubt travelling back right now, I'll throw it to John. What did you make of that one, mate?
Yeah, look, I wish Dell and the rest of them had all got a little bit more entertainment for their long journey. But I feel strangely quite buoyant after it. Look, I've come on here after results before and probably draws, and I've sounded quite defeatist and negative. But I like the way we're playing at the minute. I came on here for about 3 months and I said, I just want us to play like Peterborough United. And when I watch Posh at the minute, I feel like we're playing like Posh. 60% possession. Yeah, we're not quite as incisive as the final third as previous teams have been. But today, I thought if there was one team which looked more likely to win it, it was us. If Odo could have just tucked that chance away in the last sort of dying embers of the game, it would have been a really good away performance. But they don't lose many games. I think the commentator on Sky said only Birmingham have lost fewer games at home than Blackpool this season. So a point's a good result. And I was really, really quite pleased with the performance, particularly in the second half, where I thought we looked the fitter side despite having quite a packed fixture schedule. I thought at the end that we were still running all over them. I thought Eden was running all over them. Mothersill looked fresh throughout the whole 90 minutes. And we kept pushing, we kept playing. We lacked a little bit of end product in the final third. And my one big disappointment, I would say, is the fact that we had a lot of corners tonight and we never really looked like scoring from any of them. I know we had that one we took short and Eden hit the bar. But outside of that, didn't really threaten the keeper from anything from a set piece, which was a little bit of a shame. But in general, I think the performance levels and the style of performance is so much closer to what I expect and what I want to see from my Peterborough side that I go away and I think if we keep playing like that, there's no fear of relegation for me anymore. If we keep that standard and to keep that style up, we'll be more than fine. So I'm pleased with how it looked. 14 days ago, that would have been the best performance in months. So I'm pleased with where we're at the minute.
Yeah, I think I share the same sentiment, John. I think one of my favourite elements of tonight's performance was just the commitment to the cause that all the players showed. I think, you know, Fergie really challenged the players' desire after the Lincoln game. And they've showed that in abundance in recent weeks. And I think that was exemplified tonight. You know, it was a pretty frantic game. Even though it was a 0-0, there was a lot of end-to-end, a lot of counter-attacks. And the way we stopped them was not by being crazily good organisation or anything like that. It was just by putting bodies on the line and making blocks and not being scared to get hurt going into tackles. And it was rewarded with a very hard-fought clean sheet. And I thought we were very good value for that. In terms of the game, there wasn't much in it. I think we probably, I'd say on balance, were the better side. We certainly had the better control, I think, in the first half. Moved the ball around really nicely. And then in the second half, I'd say, you know, we probably carried the bigger threat going forward. They only really threatened us when we made big defensive errors, which there were a couple. But overall, listen, I was very happy with the performance. And I'm sure we'll talk more about individuals later, but tonight really exemplified to me that we did the right thing in the January transfer window, because the impact of Hughes and Adan on that team tonight, I think that is a game that we would have lost before they were there. But their experience, their desire, their just game intelligence helped us through massively.
Yeah, agree with the sentiment from both of you. Maybe it's easier for us to say because we were watching it in, from our sofa, and maybe for the guys who were up there, it was one where they're thinking it's 2 points to have got away. But you know what? We got to take this season's context into account, which is that we're now 5 points clear of the relegation zone. Might have seemed mad to have thought about that a year ago, but that's a great point away from home. And there was quite a wide route to us losing that game, just as there was a wide route to us winning it. It was a very, very open-ended game that if Blackpool had been more clinical, they could have cantered 3-0. We could have won it 3-0. It could have been 3-3. It was a night where both teams were just off it in front of goal. But look, I'd like to think that if we had conceded, we'd have had that extra impetus to go and make sure we definitely put it in the back of the net, and probably no matter what, wouldn't have got out of there with anything less than a point. And yeah, I agree with what you said, Charlie, as well. It was, despite the fact they had chances, I completely agree with you that I think if we started with the same back four that perhaps we started the first game of the season with, we aren't keeping a clean sheet in that situation. Tyo was great. Hughes was great. I scored them both highly in my ratings. And they were a great place to build from. You could tell as well, it just gives so much more confidence to Collins and Kyprianou to build out from. Wasn't the perfect performance by either of those, but it was, as John said, a lot more like how we're used to playing. I can't help but think some of that is because they have the confidence in the players behind them starting the moves.
Yeah, I think you've singled out two players that I wanted to speak about tonight, and that was Eden and Hughes. Eden is I've always been of the opinion, okay, we've already got Adebisi and Mills at the club, so do we need another left back? But, and I know you guys have talked about this on the last pod, so I don't want to labour the point, but I do think it's becoming almost a no-brainer to sign him. Like, how good was Charlton's left back that this guy couldn't get a game for them at all? He's really front-footed, which I like. There are some issues with his build-up play, which still haven't gone away in terms of like his passing, I would say. But that is pretty much it. And his energy and just, like I say, aggression just make up for that. And he has been a really, really good sign, and he's surpassed my expectations. I think it's easy, and maybe I was guilty of it. I looked at it and I thought, well, he's a Charlton reserve. How good can he be? But actually, he does look really good. And he's been a real, real upgrade on what we've had before. I mean, you look at someone like Jack Sparks, who clearly had a decent career at League One level. Eden looks leagues above him, to be honest. So he's made a real difference down that side with his energy. And I thought he was great tonight. Hughes, I think, is more of a debatable one whether we sign him, because I actually think I would like Eden signed. I think Hughes is maybe more of a short-term option, purely because of the way he is in possession. I think there was a couple of times tonight even where you just wanted him to pierce one into midfield and he wasn't quite capable of doing it. But I don't mean that disparagingly about him, because he's been the perfect signing for what we've needed this season. I think his defensive attributes are excellent, and it's very rare that you see him sort of scrambling around in the same way. And again, I don't mean to use this as a stick to beat Valin with, but there was a couple of times tonight where Valin was on the floor or he had been spun by a striker, and nothing really came of it, and Valin played fine tonight. He was okay. But you never really see Hughes troubled or flustered, or he always looks quite composed defensively, and he was always ahead of the striker, and he's a very basics defender, which is maybe what I think will limit his career. But in terms of what we've needed, he's done exactly the job we've needed. And I thought he was very good again tonight. Just no one really got anything out of him. And that's been the story since he's came here, really. He's not really put in, apart from maybe linking away a bad game. So fair play to them both. They've both done very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Hughes, I'm probably more positive about how he'd be in sort of a top six chasing side than you are, John. I think, you know, he's definitely playing very well at the moment. Stockport, I think, if they had him right now, would be using him. I honestly think if they don't get promoted to the Championship next season, or this season, then they will be They will be using him next season a lot. And I would be very on board with us going out and signing him. I mean, Teo Adan and him and Carl Johnston, obviously, he's been injured in recent weeks, but he made a good impact as well. They've all been fantastic. In terms of January windows, I think it's probably one of the best we've had because, you know, what do you want in January? You want short-term fixes to the issues. And obviously, our recruitment team identified those three positions as the ones that we needed players in. And they went and got players that are doing the job. They went and got players that fulfill our aim, which at the end of the day, in January, was to stay up in this division. So, yeah, Teo Adan, I mean, I think he's been given our man of the match for this evening. I think that's just come through in the group chat on the spreadsheet. Deserved. It's not his first of the season for Posh. It definitely won't be his last. Yeah, he's been absolutely fantastic since coming in. So is Sam Hughes. Yeah, you've got to... The defence tonight was really good. It was just the attack were really where we were let down.
Yeah, I guess if... While I feel positive about it, man, a couple of those chances, particularly in the first half, I'd say, which, well, they never became chances because the ball wasn't found from the midfield. I think there was one that Hayes had. It wasn't easy, but he needed to try and pass it out all the way across to, I want to say, Oddo. But the worst one than that was the Brad breakout, you know, where he carried it from our half really well. And Hayes was in front of him on the wing with him with only one defender back. And if Brad sprays that forward to him, Hayes is up one-on-one against the defender going into the box. And you'd expect Hayes would at least get a shot away there. It was such a shame that our aptitude, our key decision-making in moments wasn't quite there. And at least I say that in the second half. I think in the second half, we were better at it. So a little bit ones that got away. Lods, who obviously isn't on tonight, put a message in our chat, which I thought was quite interesting, where he said, if we'd had the chances that Blackpool had, we'd have won tonight. You might think, but we didn't have the chances Blackpool had. But I would say that it's because, not because of a lack of ability or performance, it was just very minute decision-making, which you just want to see younger players like Hayes, like Brad, over time, be able to bring that into their game and make the right decision in that moment. I suppose to a certain extent, it might go for Oddo with his chance at the very end, whether he should have taken a touch. Although I'm sympathetic that in that moment, he's hoping that he can just smash it into the net, given where he was in the box.
Yeah, I want to touch on the attack, just seeing as you mentioned them, because I thought Malik Mothersill fan clubs here again. I thought Mothersill had his best game as a number 10 by an absolute country mile tonight. I thought he was really good. One, in sort of his powerful runs forward, and two, his link-up play was very good tonight, I thought. Little bit unlucky that he wasn't given a free kick when he sort of spanned the defender and went one-on-one with the keeper, and it looked like he was clipped on the edge of the box, actually, which could have been a red card as well. On the replays, it looked a foul. I would like to see it a little bit closer up to confirm that. But in general, I thought it was a really good performance. There was a couple of times where he had that shot, didn't he, from the edge of the box where he blazed it over the bar and maybe just needed a little bit more composure in the box. But really good performance from him. Hayes, I thought, was a little bit hit and miss, if I'm honest. He was a lively Kean Hayes that you're always going to get, tracked back well, worked hard for the team, but a little bit of a lack of end product from him tonight, which is something that we can say about Hayes. And that's the one area of his game where he kind of needs to refine his game a little bit, I think, in the final third, just being a little bit more productive. Oddo, I didn't think he was as good as against Shrewsbury. I thought he had a few moments. The long shot was decent. My one concern with Oddo is, I'm not sure he ever really looks like scoring a goal. I thought the chance at the end kind of summed him up a little bit, where it was sort of like, go on then, you've had a really good week, go and score it. And he kind of put it over the bar. But he is certainly improving. Look, what I would say about Oddo, And I have my doubts about him still, although he is massively improved from what we've seen before, is he does do what you need him to do defensively. There was a moment where Blackball had the ball on the edge of the box and he was the man who basically stopped the shot. They skewed the shot wide, and that was because Otto got some pressure on. He works hard. He presses well. Still needs to do more in the final third for me, but look, it's an improvement on what's coming before, and he's meriting his spot at the minute. And then we talk about Brad just quickly. Wasn't my favourite Brad performance, but there were moments where you sort of saw how strong he was. He was really strong and held him off at a couple of occasions. There was times where he looked a little bit raw as well. Didn't use the ball as well as I'd probably like him to. Didn't really have a chance, I don't think. One thing I would say is we've got Brad on the pitch, but we do seem quite reluctant to cross the ball. Don't really actually know Brad's aerial ability. We've seen him sort of bring it down, but I don't know how many headers he wins. But I wouldn't mind seeing us chuck a couple more crosses in the box, because it feels a bit like sometimes we get to a decent position and then sort of recycle it out, which is fine with Ricky, because you know Ricky's probably not winning the header. But when Brad's on the pitch, could we toss it in there a little bit more, just see what happens? I don't really know the answer to that. So, look, I think we're at a stage now where Ricky probably comes back in for the weekend against Wickham, but Brad's proven himself to be a useful option, and there's enough there to like, even though I thought he was probably slightly below par tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was quite frustrated with our attacking play this evening. I'm getting slightly concerned about Kean Hayes, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm starting to worry that he doesn't have the sort of technical subtlety and the ability to play in the system where we've got a lot of the ball. I think, you know, he's shown that he was a very good, and I'm going to use this term lightly, he's shown that he's a very good trenches player. When we were really poor and when we were playing a very counter-attacking style of football where we were reliant on players to carry the ball and try and get forward with it, I think he was really, really effective for us. However, now it's you know, a bit better and the football's a bit more exciting and attractive, he's struggling. I think Ado's probably shown that he can step up more into the system, but I'm not sure about Kean Hayes yet. In terms of Brad, yeah, he frustrated me this evening. I think I don't think it was as bad as his performance was petulant, but I think he certainly had a bit of a bad attitude out there tonight. Not a lack of commitment or anything, but he just seemed to get quite frustrated quite quickly and then stop trying certain things. I think, yeah, it just wasn't his game. And, you know, he kicked out, obviously, which, while yes, of course, he was kicked first by the Blackpool player. He then kicks out. You should never give the referee a decision like that to make. That's just pure sort of naivety from Brad. And then obviously he pushes someone on the chest, but quite high up on the chest. They go down holding their face. The referee's already looking through a crowd of bodies. Just don't give him the decision to make it an away ground. Don't do it. Yeah, I think Brad's performance tonight was not his best. And I think I'd probably like to see Ricky play on Saturday in his place, but I'm sure we'll move on to that later.
I'll bring up another player who we haven't mentioned yet. It's been now, I think it's 4 games. Jed's been back. He's equipped himself well, in my opinion. We all sat on here debating, should it have been him to come back in? Should Bilo stay in goal? And I said at the time, sitting on the fence, that my heart was with Bilo and my head was with Jed. But look, he's done exactly what he should have done, given the argument for bringing him back in, which is that an experienced head is the player you want in your net when you've got a relegation battle on your hands. He's looked calm. He's looked like he's talking to people, occasionally shouting when he needs to. And I think that he's clearly trying to do his best to be a commanding presence in the back of the pitch. And it's another clean sheet tonight. Even though he didn't have really anything to save, he was assured when the balls came in. He picked them out of the air well. And it's all you can ask from him, really. And I think that continues what his form has been for these last few games. I'm always going to whinge when he doesn't get every kick quite right. And I think to be fair, there was only maybe one, you might say, he didn't clear properly. A couple of passes along the ground that were wayward, which could have been worse than other nights. Equally, I'm sympathetic because they're part of our system, which most keepers don't have to do. And it's clearly because Fergie wants that. But yeah, I'm feeling good about Jed. I think Fergie's been vindicated on this one. And I don't think there's any doubt that he sticks around for the foreseeable.
Another player I just wanted to quickly touch on before we sort of wrap up on the game was Hector Cipriano. Look, I think it was after Bristol Rovers where my head was quite hot at Cipriano after he'd put in a stinker of a performance and then wandered off down the tunnel and it looked almost a dead cert like he was going to leave on deadline day. His improvement since the window closed has been quite dramatic, I think. He wasn't rampaging or like amazing tonight, but he was good. He was Hector Cipriano of old, I thought. He just looks like he's got more energy and legs about him. I don't know about you guys, but over the first bit of the season, he just looked so lethargic and slow in the middle of the park. It was like watching a shadow of his former self, but he was making runs even down the channels tonight and things like that, which you don't typically associate with Cipriano, but everything that he did well, I thought he was solid. His passing was good. He tackled well. Just, I'm pleased to see him back to the Cipriano that I knew and loved last season. He needed to improve badly, and he has done. So well done. Credit to you. A shame you haven't played like this the whole season. Don't know if it was to do with another club, but looks like he's got his head back on now. And we are a much better team when we get Collins and Cipriano playing together and playing well. Once those two start playing well, the whole team plays well. So, yeah, keep it up to both of them, really. I didn't think Collins was great first half, but I thought he was much better second half. There was a moment where he picked the ball up. I think it was off a Malik Motherseal sort of flick, and he took one touch and drove through the middle and then released Hayes, and Hayes kind of wasted the opportunity. But that was a really good bit of play, and I thought he was, as well, much improved towards the second half. So fingers crossed those two can keep their current levels up from now to the end of the season, because we do need them. They are so vital cogs in this system.
Absolutely. All right. On Saturday, next up, we have Wycombe Wanderers at home. I'm not sure how many of us would have expected that Wycombe would be one of the teams deep in the promotion battle. But here we are. This is a team that when we played them last, we went 1-0 up in the beginning of the second half. And at that stage, we were inside the playoffs, or near as damn it. We were on the same number as points as sixth. And by the end of that afternoon, we were down in 15th. And Wycombe themselves, we'd have overtaken if we'd beaten them. And they finished that afternoon third and have never looked back. It's interesting how I think it was quite an inflection point for our season was the last time we played them. Maybe a bit of a different context this time, because it's funny going into a home game against Wycombe Wanderers, a team we beat at Wembley last season as well, thinking that, I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking that a point will probably be good coming out of this game. What do you think, Charlie?
No, I don't think I'm with you on that. I think, listen, we've been poor this season, but I think I'm sort of holding us to a higher standard now. And I think any game at home is a big opportunity. Wycombe have not been at their devastating form that they were at under Bloomfield since Dodds has come in. They've not quite had the same sort of level of attacking quality, and they're a little bit, they're still very difficult to break down, but they're not as dangerous. And so I fully expect us to go out there and win on Saturday. I mean, not expect, but I will be predicting a win, and I will be disappointed if we don't. I think, listen, yeah, you're right about that last weekend game being an inflection point. I think that was a point where a lot of us lost our way with a few of these players. I know that was a big game for Manny Fernandez. You know, he was given the captain's armband, got stressed, sent off, gave away a penalty as well. Just completely was symbolic of our general implosion as a team. Yeah, that was a bad result, bad day. And that was probably the start of sort of the snowball effect of misery that followed in the winter. But we are on a better footing now. And I think we'll be on an even better footing come Saturday, because Kwame Poku, I'm fully expecting him to start the game. Dan Ferguson said that, you know, they could have gotten back involved for Shrewsbury, could have gotten back involved tonight, but that would have involved doing it in a more incremental way. And he said in his interview that he fully expects Poku to be ready to start on Saturday, which is a massive plus, because we spoke about potentially a lack of attacking quality tonight and just that sort of that last bit of attacking nuance and ability to finish chances. I have no doubt that Poku would have finished at least one or two of those chances that we had tonight. Probably would have made something of a lot of Kean Hayes' opportunity to get the ball. Arguably would have scored from the position that Odo was in at the end. Yeah, I think having him back will be a massive plus. Gustav Lindgren as well. He's likely to be back involved. He's got a bit of quality. I do like, you know, he's not shown massive amounts in a Posh shirt so far, but I think having him as an option to bring off the bench instead of, you know, Con Clark or anybody like that is probably a good option. Although I don't expect him to start the game. Yeah, I think it will be, listen, it's a good opportunity to win. It's a good opportunity to carry on our unbeaten run. And yeah, so I don't think we go into the game as underdogs at all. I think we're on form. They're playing okay, but they're not on their best form. At home, we should have every chance of winning that game.
Yeah, look, I feel a lot more positive about Posh, as I think you can tell in my general demeanour. Charlie, we are underdogs. You've got to say, Wickham are second in the league. We're 17th and 5 points off relegation. We are definitely the underdogs here. It's not last season. We've been better for a week and a half now. We still go into this game, and like Harry said, if we get a point, that's where we are at this stage. If we get a point from every game to the end of the season, we get to 50 points, we finish in mid-table, everyone writes the season off, and hopefully we win at Wembley, and everyone forgets about this, and we get better next season. I don't think just because we've had a good week and a half, we can now start saying, yeah, really good opportunity to beat second in the league at home. I think you need to give them a little bit more credit than that. I don't particularly like Wickham after holding a grudge against them since the COVID season. But this Wickham team are a decent side. They're hard to break down. They've arguably got the best striker in the league in Richard Kone. They've got a pretty good record against us over the years. We always seem to struggle against Wickham. Better sides than this team have lost to Wickham. If we come out of it with a draw, I'm more than happy with that. I will be delighted if Kwame Poku's back, because it feels like we just need that little bit of injection. We're playing all right now, and if we get that injection of attacking quality, we do. I think we'll start picking up points relatively quickly if we keep playing like this. But yeah, I think we've just got to dumb down expectations a bit. I want to preach positivity, and I think it's great. We haven't had much of it this season, but to start saying, oh, we're not underdogs against second in the league, I don't know about that. I think we've got to have some realism about it as well, and probably say that we may well lose this game of football.
I mean, I see where you're coming from in terms of, yes, they are considerably higher in the league than us. But also, I mean, we've played at a very high standard over the last couple of weeks. I think it would be reasonable for some of the players to be tired on Saturday, but other than that, I can't see any reason why we won't go toe-to-toe with Wickham. I think, you know, there'll be a full expectation from Darren Ferguson that his team will go out and win on Saturday. Not, you know, a hit and hope like it would potentially be if we were playing Birmingham away. It's a different game at home against Wickham. They're not going to bring a massive travelling support, so that's going to have an impact on the game. And of course, yeah, they have some very good quality players, but so do we. I think, you know, there's it's a weird one because Wickham are a very good team, but when you actually look at their squad, I think a combined 11 between Wickham and Posh would be interesting. I don't know how many of their players would get in to our squad. I think, you know, Kone's one, Humphreys maybe. But other than that, you know, you look at Poku, Malik. I'm big fans of them. I think our midfield's better. I like a Dunn. I don't know. I feel like we can fully expect us to go into a home game and win. I think we've underachieved up until this point. The team is now playing at the level that was expected of them at the start of the season. And there's no reason why, as fans, we shouldn't expect them to maintain that level and maybe even push on.
You know, you've raised an interesting point, Charlie. And I think if any Wycombe Wanderers fans listen to this pod in anticipation of the game, they will have all 11 players from their own team, I suspect. They might be dissuaded from Norris, but other than that, I don't think they're changing anyone out. Udo's been in great form. Onyedema is a really good player. I could swear that they had, McCleary, of course, they came on today rather than actually starting. Say no more about Kone, who's having an unbelievable season. And Josh Gowan, you know, great player. I think that we are going to seriously struggle to convince, if we had a Wycombe fan here, convince them to have maybe more than one or two of our players in. Just where we're at. And that's perfectly fine. I'm quite happy with us now, especially if we do manage to pull away from the relegation zone a bit. We're going into this 5 points clear. Even if CJ's fit, I've got no problem starting Dornelli. It's great to have him now playing some games, honestly, under a bit less pressure. The shackles of any hopes of playoffs are completely gone. And that terrifying, you know, shark teeth of relegation are also starting to look a bit more in the distance. So I'm thinking, forget about who's the best 11, but, you know, versus Wycombe. Obviously, we've got to start a strong 11, but I'm just saying that it's good that we're in a position, I think, where we've got no qualms starting some younger players. I wonder whether it would be a case of maybe trying something a little bit different as well, just purely from a rotational perspective for fatigue. It's been a very intense period with the Wrexham game, obviously Blackpool tonight, like multiple weekday, weeknight games. Whether we do end up mixing up a bit, is there a chance for CCC to come back here? Is there a chance for, as you guys say, for Ricky to come back in for Brad? I wanted to ask you guys specifically, because you mentioned Poku coming back earlier. If Poku, I think you both would bring Poku in if he was fit. But if he's not fit, I want to ask both of you, who's your front three or front four for this game? Or maybe I'll come to you first, John.
My front four for this game, if Poku's not fit, it's a good question. You've caught me off guard a bit here, Harry. I think I would go Mullisil in the 10 again. I would probably start Ricky up front, I think. The only thing I would say on that is Ricky started up front in the away game and Mothersfield started down the wing and they swapped, and Ricky was better when he played on the left wing. That's when he actually scored his goal. So maybe I'm talking myself out of that particular thing, but I think I can't believe I'm saying this, because I did famously say that Fergie should be sacked if he plays Otho again, but I probably would start Otho again, I think, if Poku's not fit. I'd probably start Hayes on the right. I mean, who else are we really looking at? It's Lindgren, who, despite Charlie saying that's a plus point, him coming back, is it a plus point? Has he really proven anything yet, apart from against Walsall reserves? And then Brad or Ricky, take your pick. Look, I think I'm going with Ricky, and that's the only change. I think that's where I'm at with it.
Charlie, how about you?
Ooh, it's a tough one. You know what I'd do? I would get rid of Hayes. I'd play... This is... Okay, you guys are going to hate this. I'd play Ado on the right. I'd play Malik on the left. I'd play Ricky up front. And I'd play Sissoko, Collins and Kyprianou all together. And I'd try...
Charlie... That's exactly what I was about to say. So I don't hate it at all.
Oh, I was scared that this would be one of those times where I say something that I think is reasonable and then get shot down. I think, listen, it's a game where we're at home. We want to have quite a lot of the ball. And, you know, if Wickham are a good side. You know, I talked them down a little bit because I think we're in a good position to give them a really good game. But they are a very good side. And, you know, having a stronger midfield against, you know, what has been a good, consistent midfield for them this season could really help us. And then obviously that gets Malik wide, which I think there is a bit of a clamour for. Ado on the right, listen, it's not his best position. I think he is better cutting in off the left, but he's shown he can do it. And, even if it's just Ado on the right until half-time, then bring Hayes on against a bit more of a tired left-back, I think he'd have slightly more effect. Yeah, I think that's what I'd do.
Can I just quickly say to you boys, the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. I watched Ado start down that right wing over Kean Hayes for far too long and I lost my head about it. I am not about to go back to saying Ado starts down that right wing over Kean Hayes because it doesn't work, lads. It doesn't work. Please remember what happened up until March or the end of February where Ado's now become Peterborough United's Cristiano Ronaldo all of a sudden. Please, let's just keep Hayes down the right. He's definitely better down the right than Ado.
All right. I mean, unless you've got anything else you want to mention for this game, gents, I think we're getting close to prediction time. Anything from either of you? No, we're good? All right, I'll just go left to right. Charlie, tell me, what the score's going to be?
Ooh, I said I'd predict a win, and I'm going to do it. And I think we'll win 2-1. I'm going to go for Wickham will go 1-0 up. It'll be subdued around London Road. Little bit of nerves. We'll come out in the second half, and it will be the Poku party. He's going to score the first goal to get us level, a curler from outside the box. And then he'll slip Ricky J. Jones through. He'll cut in, play a little through ball. Ricky J. Jones rounds the keeper, sticks it in. Posh win 2-1. Happy days. Wickham, you know, we can get a bit of revenge for PPG Gate. And hopefully they'll get overtaken by someone else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, reminding me of PPG Gate, Charlie. Since that happened, Wickham haven't had a promotion. I really hope it stays that way. You know, for don't want to be too harsh on them. Maybe 100 years would be fair. So we're on the way to that. Be disappointed to see them go up. I'm going to go with 1-1. I think that we'll score first, and it's going to be a real battle from there on out. But I equally think that we are going to have a bit more nous and a bit more, you know, game management about us than we had in the away game where we did go 1-0 up then and it frankly fell apart not long after that.
Yeah, I would just like to say, to go on record, I am, despite championing Wickham this season, I am no Wickham Wanderers fan. I can't stand them. You are a pathetic tinpot little club that voted to stop playing football. One of the most self-serving moves I've ever had the displeasure of being a part of. However, I have to think with my head here. Posh's highest placed team that we've beaten at home this season is Stevenage in 11th. Wickham have lost 5 League One games all season, 2 of which have been to that Birmingham Super team, who are probably the best team I've ever seen in League One. So they've only lost 3 games outside of that. For that reason, I think it's very difficult, logically, to say Posh are going to win this game. I think if we keep our current level of performance, though, we might well get a point. I would be relatively happy with that. So I'm going to say 2-2. I think Poku will score on his comeback. And I would go away pleased again with another game unbeaten. Keep ticking off the points, get to that 50-point mark, get us safe, and we can all relax and move on to next season.
All right. Thank you. I think we're there. Short and sweet by our standards. Thank you all for listening. And up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.